person that we've asked requests for. And Lord, there's people that we're not even remembering right now that have even asked us to pray for them. And Lord, those that have slipped our mind, help us to remember them too as we're praying. Lord, and you take care of business. And Lord, there's people all up and down the road by our houses, Lord, that really need your touch and ask you to touch right now. There's family members that really, really need you and desire you, Father, and I ask you to touch them. And Lord, there are those, Lord, that have lost the desire to get in there with you, Lord. I ask you to touch them right now, Lord. Help them, God, to understand that this is the last day and we don't need to be losing our desire, but we need to be getting fired up, moving forward, not backwards. And I ask you to touch them. And Lord, I ask you, Father, just keep quickening our spirits. Help us understand what's going on around us with the Supreme Court and all the stuff that's happening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I can tell you what. Did y'all hear that the Washington Redskins are changing their name? You know, you heard about it earlier, but now the place was trying to change the Washington Redskins' name, the nation, but now the Washington Redskins themselves are changing their name. They're dropping Washington because they said it's offensive. That's awesome. That little baby, that's awesome. Yes. It's a girl. Yeah, tell her what. Well, that's awesome. Thank God. You know, the Supreme Court still taking up issues. They did strike down some of. I know people might not realize this, but since Obama's been in office, commerce is getting their hands tied more and more and more with all these regulations. And what's happening is all these regulations, all this stuff going down. Well, they struck down a bunch of his regulations this week. Praise God. Okay. Also, I don't know if it's Oklahoma. I'm not sure exactly what state it is, but they just this week, a Supreme Court, I think it's Oklahoma, just made a law where they are to remove the Ten Commandments from the state capitol. That's bad. Not our state. I mean, not the nation's capital, but. Yeah, whoever that was, Oklahoma, whoever it was, to take the Ten Commandments down. And so we're busy trying to approve gay marriage, but you can't have Ten Commandments up. Now, here's the deal. In order for us to do things like gay marriage and do some of the crazy mess we're doing, here's what's got to happen. God has to be removed. Because if God's in the middle of it, people, their conscience is bothered. That's why they don't even teach creation anymore. They teach evolution. Because if we come from monkeys, then we can do what we want to. But if we're made in the image of God, again, there's a moral standard to be held. So they're trying to take out creation, and they're trying to take the Bibles out of, they already took the Bibles out of school, but even there's places now, even hotels and stuff, the Gideons can no longer even put Bibles in there. But you can put Qurans. And that's crazy, But again, they're trying to take God. You've got to take God out of the mix. You've got to take His Word out of the mix and say, that's why I'm taking Ten Commandments down and other things. Because as long as you're taking God out of the way, then you're free to do whatever you want. And they're doing whatever they want, even against the will of the people. Because the people already voted and said, no, we're not going to have this. It don't matter. The Supreme Court Justice said, well, we're going to have it anyway. And if you talk about it, you're going to get in trouble. So they might as well come get some duct tape, some good duct tape, because I'm going to keep on talking. Yeah. That's something. Okay, let's go to this thing here now. Okay. We're talking about trials. We're almost through. There may be another week or two, but then we're going to be through with this, and we're going to go into something else. And I'm going to let you know ahead of time when I talk about, what's that? Oh, we're playing $10,000 pyramid. It's going down. It's coming down. It'll start making sense in about three more seconds. There you go. Okay. Of course, I just keep leaving some slides up from the previous weeks just so we can keep some continuity and you know that we're not just repeating the same thing over and over again. Of course, the major... Oh. Okay. The major... scripture that we've been going by has been, and can you ask back to the people back there too? Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Now this, today is going to be a little bit, I believe is going to be an eye-opener. Of course, here's some of the stuff we've been talking about. The purpose of trials, of course, is the proving of the quality or worth of something or someone and a test of your faith, your patience, endurance through the process of suffering. God means it for good. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. Who wants to take a jump out of an airplane with a parachute that's never been tested? I did see in a newspaper ad one time that said, for sale, a parachute only used once, never opened, only used once, slightly soiled. Trials never leave you the same, they make you bitter or better. So here we go. How many know that trials really run deep? I mean, it's a whole icebergs. You look at an iceberg, and you no matter how big that iceberg looks, is 10 to 100 to 1,000 times bigger below the water. Like with the Titanic, they saw the iceberg, but it was too late. But when they saw the iceberg, it wasn't that big old iceberg up top. They got him. It was the iceberg under the water because the iceberg, again, is 10 to 100 to 1,000 times bigger underwater than it is above water, what where you can see. So, this scripture right here, Isaiah 43, if you got, I've got it right here for you. But I'm going to talk about this for a minute. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And I'm going to go to the King James Version for a minute. I want you to listen to this. It says, verse 1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. This is these words. Created thee, O Jacob. Created thee, O Jacob. What does Jacob mean? Supplanter, deceiver, heel catcher. I created thee. That's how he came from his mother's womb. Created. He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Formed thee. Now, Israel. Jacob is supplanter. Is deceiver, heel catcher. Israel is prince with God or prince of God. So somewhere between the creation and the point where he became Israel, that's when he formed him. He formed him in the heat of trial. Okay? If you're going through something today, remember, you're going from what God created you to who God is forming you. Right? So remember, he was created, supplanter, deceiver. He is, and then God formed him into a prince. So now it says, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine." So today, in your trials, remember, when you're going through something, it is never, I'm trying to think of the proper way to say it. Every trial you go through has a purpose. Every, y'all say it, every. Every trial, even if you're the one that instigated it. Wow. Even if you're the one who instigated, how many of y'all have ever done something and you said, that was stupid? How many has ever done something and, man, you had to pay for it for a long time and you really messed it up? Okay? But you know what? How many can say, I messed it up, but just what you gave the perfect example. You said, God told me to do one thing, I did too. But God even helped me pay for the thing that I did. He provided for that. So again, there's times where we do something, we instigate the trial, and God still blesses. God still helps. So that's a very awesome thought. So now, here's what he says. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. That's the King James Version. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, let's kind of stop and look at these words. These words are so full of meaning. It says, when thou pass through the waters. That word through means to be overtaken. So if you're overtaken, that means that maybe you're going through some water, some tough waters that actually took you by surprise. It hit you. You didn't see it. You didn't see the high water sign. You didn't see the no wake zone. You didn't see any of this. I mean, bam, here you are. You're up to your neck. And you wonder where it came from. Also, that word means to alienate. So there's times where out of nowhere you're alienated. You don't understand why I'm alienated, why I can't seem to get broke through. I'm up to my neck in alligators and I can't seem to get there. He says, but when thou passest through, and the word waters, get ready. That word waters is a very interesting word because it means not only water, but it means urine. It means septic water. So have you ever felt like what you went through just pure stunk? I mean, just stunk. You're up to your neck. It stinks. You can't do a thing about it. You've been overtaken. You've been alienated. And God says when this happens, it's going to be okay because this is part of me going from the creation to the forming of you. Yeah, and I'm taking you from Jacob, the supplanter, to I'm taking you now to Israel, the prince. So again, I can see times in my life where God took me from was taking me from one thing and bringing me to another. And I say, God, I don't understand why, but I thank you. Later on, I look backwards and I say, you know what? I see what you were doing now. Thank you. Now it makes sense. I will be with you, and when thou pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. That word sweep means to engulf, to drown, to conquer. When you walk through the fire, and that word walk through the fire doesn't necessarily mean you're walking on your own. That word walk means to be led away. Sometimes we're drugged through it. Have you ever felt like you were drugged through it? You get up in the morning, and by that night you say, I feel like I have just been drugged all day long. Okay? That's what it's talking about. You will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So with all that in mind, here we go. We're gonna kind of jump to another scripture. This is awesome. One of my favorite scriptures. I go to this all the time. I tell people that's under trial, I tell them to read this. And if you've ever come to me and you said, I just don't understand why I'm going through this and I really need some help, you'll see how many, don't raise your hand, but how many, remember I've told you to read James chapter 1. Okay, I've told many of you, read James chapter 1. You're saying, I really don't understand what I'm going through. And I say, read James chapter 1. And to some people, I say, I want you to read it every day until it gets in, not only in your head, but it gets in your heart and it gets in your spirit. because this is so awesome. All right, so listen to this now. James, and I did an amplified version. I have the King James Version here, which is fine because we can go back to the King James Version and I can read that for you too. But it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this guy here, how many knows he was Jesus' half-brother? He didn't get him to say, well, I'm Jesus' half-brother. He said, I'm a servant. Wow. Talk about humble. He says, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion. And that word dispersion is heavy because the dispersion is when the church came under such heavy persecution that they scattered like bugs. You know, have you ever gone in the kitchen and you brought the box? You brought a box home from A&P, and A&P, that box from A&P was full of roaches. And you get home and you have no idea you've got any roaches, and you turn on the light, and all of a sudden they just scatter. Okay, that's why the church was scattered. All right. So now, consider it wholly joyful, my brother. Wholly joyful. Do not mix it with any other emotion. Wholly joyful, my brother, whenever you're enveloped in. What about that? What did that say about when I am enveloped? When I'm being overtaken up to my neck in septic water, he says, rejoice. Don't mix it with any other emotion. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it, without God's help? Okay? I've seen many a time where, I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I know we can do this, but I really need you to step up because I don't think I can do it. I need to be mostly you because I can't do this. Okay, or encounter trials of any sort of falling to various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith, is what we're talking about, brings about endurance, steadfastness, and patience. And again, that word patience means cheerful endurance. It's your attitude, all right? But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play, and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed. That's what perfect means. It doesn't mean you walk around and you don't do anything wrong. It means that you are mature. Perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. I've told you this before. When my boy was up in a tree and he started hollering, Daddy, come help me. I'm hanging on by a hand. Help me. I didn't say, well, have you done your homework? I didn't say, what you doing up there? I didn't even say, you come down here to trash, then go back up there and I'll go help you. I helped him because he's my son. Nothing can change that Daniel is my son, Daniel Linton, and D.C. is D.C. Linton. Nothing can change that. Bethany Linton. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. We're adopted into the family. Do you know that it'd be harder for me to get rid of Bethany than it would be to get rid of D.C. and Daniel by the law? Because she's adopted. All her court records, everything about her that was before me has been sealed, and it requires a court order to even see anything before that. And now when I said I was her dad and I signed that piece of paper, I mean, it'd be hard to get rid of DC and Daniel, but I'm going to tell you something. It'd be even harder to get rid of Bethany. And we are adopted into the family. Wow, that's awesome. Amen? So now here it goes. If any of you are in deficient wisdom, ask of God who gives to everyone liberally, ungrudgingly. Doesn't say, why are you up there? Have you taken out the trash? Without reproach or fault finding, it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out of sea that is blown hither and thither. I'm not sure where hither and thither is, but it's somewhere close to lowland. Hither on the other side of Hope. I thought it was. Okay. We'll have to get us a map out. Hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly that no such person imagined that he will receive anything he asked from the Lord. Now let's go a little bit further. For being as he is a man of two minds, it also means to have two spirits, it means to have two hearts. Wow. To have two hearts, to have two spirits. Meaning you just can't make your mind up. Is he going to do it or isn't he going to do it? Yeah, he can do it today, but before I get through the day, he can't do it. Back and forth. Hesitating, dubious, irresolute. He is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation as a Christian called to the true riches and be an heir of God. And the rich person ought to glory in being humbled by being shown his human frailty, because like a flower of the grass he'll pass away. For the sun comes up with a scorching heat and parches the grass. His flower falls, and the heat with the scorching grass, that's on possum track. Out there right behind my house. His flower falls away and his beauty fades away. Even so will the rich man wither and die in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed, happy to be happy and to be envied is the man who is patient, attitude under trial, and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So now, here we go. Let's talk about this. James 1 through 12 assures us that trials, although they're deep, trials deepen our roots. Did you know a palm tree will lean over? You see them in the hurricanes, how the palm trees lean over? Do you know that whenever a palm tree leans over, when it comes back up and has gone through a storm and leaned way on over and comes back, the roots get stronger and they grow deeper? Every time it's pushed over, when it comes back up, the roots get stronger and grow deeper. So every time we're like the palm tree, say we're going to be like the palm, we're pushed over. When we come back up, our roots grow deeper and they get stronger. So here we go. God plants all Christians in the soil of suffering in order to deepen their roots of faith. Your Christ-like character grows and develops as you learn to patiently, y'all say patiently, let each trial do God's redeeming work in your heart. Remember, he said, O Jacob, I created thee. O Israel, I redeemed thee. I molded thee, I formed thee. But he says, I have redeemed thee. So in that forming process, he redeemed him. I thank God that he loves me enough that in the forming process, he's redeeming me. He's making something of value out of me. Amen? I remember getting old coin or something that I found on the ground, and I'd pick it up when I was a little boy, and I'd take it and I'd rub it across the dirt, or rub it across my pants leg, and just rub it. You know what happened? It started getting shiny. Yeah. So there's a lot of times God's just rubbing us. You think he's rubbing us the wrong way when actually he's making us shine. I thank you, Lord, that I'm shining. I just wish I didn't shine so much. Amen? Okay. Know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. James 1 and 3. Get ready. I'm going to throw it up here. All the words are going to come up here at one time. I want you to see this now, because I'm trying to spell it. How to faith your trials. Not face your trials. How to faith your trials. Ready? Here it is. I'm going to read the verse out to you. Face your trial positively. That's the F. Again, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Remember, count it all joy. Count is an accounting term. Means you've taken everything in consideration, you've pulled it in, and you're matching it with no other emotion. Face your trial positively. How many today, don't raise your hands. How many today has had a trial and you had a hard time facing it positively? Don't raise your hand. Maybe this week you had a trial and you had a hard time facing it positively. I remember I told Linda one day, I said, it ain't going to work. And she says, you of all people, I can't believe you said it ain't going to work. I said, dear, it's not going to work. She said, can you please be positive like you normally are? I said, okay, I'm positive. It ain't going to work. All right. Face your trial positively. And sometimes, even no matter how hard it is, even if you started off with it bad, it's not too late to turn it around. You can still change. So you can say, okay, say, Lord, okay, I've blown it half the day. I had a bad attitude. Thank you, God, that now my attitude's improving and we're having a good day. A, accept your trial patiently, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I'm not talking about patience like at the hospital. Cheerful endurance. How many can say, I'm cheerfully enduring? I find myself sometimes looking like Kirk Douglas. I'm trying to get through it. Yeah, and then all of a sudden they open up another register, and the person that just walked up goes and gets in. You've been sitting there for 5, 10, 15 minutes. I remember one night I was sitting there waiting to check out with my Christmas stuff. And I had about the bag, this is way on back in some years, and I had, I don't know, probably 50 items. And they closed. I've been at the register for 30 minutes. They closed the register when it was my turn. And I looked at them and I said, do you see I'm right here? And she said, I got to go. And I said, excuse me, do you see I'm right here? My stuff's even out on the counter. It's on the counter. It's been on the counter for quite some time now. And she said, sir, I'm closed. So I picked it all up, smiled, said, thank you very much. And I walked over to the 10-item or less aisle. And I walked over and set it down. They said, sir, you got 50 items. I said, I had 50 items for 30 minutes over there. So now I'm going to have 50 items in the 10-item aisle or less. And I smiled. And Linda said, move, move, move. And I said, I am. I'm moving up. They took me. Well, I know, and I shouldn't have, but see, I was patiently enduring, but I have to admit I kind of blew it in between while I was patiently enduring. I admit I blew it, but they went ahead and checked me out anyway. Okay. Ah. 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 Well, y'all remember me telling you about at Christmas time when that little girl was in the checkout. I mean, she was checking us out at the layaway, and while she's checking us out, she runs out of tape, and the ladies in front of me are cussing her while she's trying to change the tape, and they cussed her bad. They kept cussing and cussing, and she was shaking so bad trying to put that tape, the cash register tape in, and I said, Lord, please give me wisdom. And so I leaned up between the two ladies, and I said, dear, take your time. I said, there won't be one perfect, and they crucified him. And those ladies went, that's right. That, you take your time. Take your time. They crucified Jesus. Yeah, you take your time. they pushed him. All right. Here it goes. Implore God for wisdom, or ask God for wisdom in your trial. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if you're deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given him. Trust God through your trial. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And H, harvest the blessing from your trial. Do you know that every trial you got is going to have a blessing in it? So why do I want to mess it up so by the time I get to the end of it, I can't even enjoy the blessing? Because I acted so crazy along the way. So I have to keep. It's really good. That's right. I've had people tell me, and I've said myself, you know what? I'm glad it happened now. Remember, you cannot judge God's faithfulness while you're in the heat of trial. You judge God's faithfulness looking back. Okay? Well, that's taking up for yourself. That's right. All right. So now, knowing the test of your faith develops perseverance. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So watch this. I want you to watch this. Y'all listen to this. Cool. This one phrase takes everything we just studied and puts it in a nutshell. Ready? Don't just go through it. Grow through it. Don't just go through it. Grow through it. That's right. Learn from it. You know, I remember I sat back and I was asking God to teach me, and I used to drive to Procter & Gamble a certain way every day through Grimesland, and it hit me one day that there were certain roads, like on, I don't know if y'all remember or not, but used to when you went over to Overhead Pass at Grimesland and you went towards Greenville, right after you got off that bridge, if it was raining, there was a great old big spot of water right there, and it would throw your car. And I learned that, so whenever I went over, I knew to go around it. And there's a spot right now on the Voice of America Road. If you hit that thing, it'll make your car want to flip over. So you have to, because the guys, I think the guys were drinking the day they fixed it. I'm not sure, but they got the hole's worse than it was when they did it. Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe they're in cahoots with a car dealership. I don't know. But still, I know when I see that, when I get around, I have to go around it. And so, but if I hadn't have driven the road, wouldn't know it. And like yesterday, I was riding through Greenville trying to hurry up. I was trying to go see Brother Burton. I was trying to get to him, and I went down, and I happened to see a cone, and the cone's on the side of the road. But I'm busy. The traffic's crazy, and I see this cone on the side of the road, and I'm thinking, why is a cone on the side of the road? And then I went, boo-boo. And what happened was the cone was supposed to be in a hole, but somebody picked it up or knocked it or something, and it's over there. So now I know when I go through there, watch out for another of the 10,000 holes in the road around here. I know when to watch out for those holes. Again, experience teaches you to watch out for the bumps and the bruises. Okay? It's like if you know somebody, if you know that some people react certain ways about certain things, you know to be careful how you talk to them about those certain things. You know, and if you know that on your job, if there are certain things that cause certain problems, you learn to watch out. And that's what he's saying. You're growing under trial. You're learning the ins and outs and which way to turn and which way to handle it. And when you get through with it, not only are you helping yourself, but you can help others. You say, look, if you get up there, be careful, because that's going to tear your car up. If you're not careful, you know, get over here. Or like I tell the boys all the time, you know, when you go here, you ask for this person. When you go there, you do this. Or when you feel this problem come on, here's what I want you to do. And now they're getting to the age now, they're telling me things like that, and it's awesome, you know, for them to tell me that stuff. And so it's really cool. But again, remember, this stuff doesn't hurt you. It grows you. And I thank God. Remember, just put in your head. It's on your paper, the very last thing. Don't just go through it. Grow through it. And if you'll grow through it, you know what you're going to find out? Is that you're not going to go through it so much. You'll graduate to the next problem. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, God. You know, because you knew better than me. How many's ever asked God for something? And God has three answers to every prayer. Yes, no, and I got something better in mind. Right? How many's ever asked for something and God didn't give it, and down the road you decided, I'm glad he didn't give it to me. Yeah. Oh yeah, you never can tell. I had somebody just today. It just kind of blew me away because I brought up something about the Supreme Court, and all of a sudden they got very humanistic about the gay right thing. You know, of course they were funny to start with. They said, "Why shouldn't they be as miserable as the rest of us? Let them get married." Well, but still, what I was going to say is you'd be surprised. Linda showed me some stuff on Facebook. You'd be surprised at the comments that were made about the White House with all the different colors. And even in my own, even in my extended family, I'm not talking about my family, the church family, or DC or Daniel or Linda. I'm talking about further out. Some of my family who have always been staunch conservatives, some of the things they have said just blows me away, because I'm going, did you get zapped by aliens? Did they take you to another planet and put another brain in your head and bring you back here to hear some of the things that you know they say? And one of the biggest things I keep hearing is they say, I have had family members ask me since right for gay marriage is, do I have to perform gay weddings? And I said, no, I don't. And I said, the day and time they're going to tell me what I'm going to do will be the day and time they can lock me up. I'm not going to be told what to do like that. It's not going to happen because it's against the Bible. You know, no, if it's against the Bible, it's against the Bible. No matter what the Supreme Court says, it's against the Bible. We were sitting at a restaurant Sunday, and there were several pastors, I didn't know who they were, but the person beside me happened to be listening, and the person said, I can't believe what I just heard. And I said, I didn't want to really get into conversation, period. You know, but of course I said, well, what did you just hear? And they were discussing gay marriage, and one pastor told the other pastor that he had done a gay wedding. He didn't want to, but he did it anyway because he didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And I said, he hurt his feelings. Yeah. Yeah. So I just said, I didn't say anything. I just kept my mouth shut. Just kept my mouth shut. Because again, you start so many open up so many Pandora's boxes if you're not careful. God gives us wisdom. So you got to use wisdom. You know, it's like, I don't know if y'all saw the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. It's based on a true story on the Swamp Rat. I think it was Swamp Rat or Swamp, whatever his name was. Swamp Fox. I thought about you, Swamp Rat, the Swamp Fox. And he goes in a bar and he's trying to get guys to help fight King George. He's trying to find patriots. And so he goes in a bar with his friend. And when he goes to the bar, he shuts the door and he hollers, "Long live King George." And all the guys turn around and are throwing hatchets at him and knives. And they step out and he said, "That weren't a smart thing to do." And he said, "Yeah, it was. I wanted to find out if they were for us or against us." And he wound up signing up a lot of guys that day. So again, you got to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom, but still, that's what this is all about. God says, I'll give you wisdom. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're our God. I thank you, Lord, that in the middle of all this mess, you're still in control. And Lord, we don't have to wonder if you're in control. We know you're in control. And we know that we serve a higher power. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us. Lord, to help us understand that you are working in our midst more than ever. Because the Bible says where sin abound, grace did much more abound. So I know, Lord, that right here in the middle of all this junk, you're showing off your power. And I ask you right now, Lord, to minister, Lord, to each one of us. Help us, Lord, to stand strong and to trust you in all of this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Don't forget Sunday is Independent Sunday. It's actually, when is it? Friday or Saturday? Saturday. So it's actually Saturday. But come on in. You can wear your red, white, and blue. Wear your red, white. Yeah. Your red, white, and blue. God is awesome. All the time.